The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So thank you all for sitting here. It's really nice to be here among people who are practicing so quietly and coming together to do this purpose, be this way together. I certainly appreciate it coming back from the meetings with people out in the parking lot and coming into the room and being with you for a few minutes in the quiet. I think that in kind of a popular way of thinking about Buddhist practice, that Buddhist practice is sometimes seen as being has a purpose to attain something. We practice in order to attain enlightenment is the most dramatic of these kinds of ideas. We practice in order to become free, or we practice in order to be calm or concentrated, or we practice in order to, you can fill in the blank. There's a lot of answers to that question. We practice in order to. One answer to the question, a very interesting and I think very profound and meaningful answer, is that we practice in order to confirm the practice. We practice in order to validate the practice. We practice in order to discover how good the practice is. And so practice is the confirmation of itself so that we have confidence that practicing is what's important. So sometimes there are clear experiences we happen. It's clear things that, you know, maybe, you know, you do get enlightened. So does that mean that you get to have a badge and go around and say, look at me, you know, you could be like me too if you just practiced, you know, look at, you know, I'm a hotshot or something. But there are, you know, all kinds of experiences people can have in the Dharma. But the ones that count the most are the ones that affirm the practice. So that as we continue, now we know, after practice, what is there? Practice. I'm practicing so I can finally stop practicing. I'm trying to get, you know, good enough so that I don't have to ever have to practice again. That's not the point is to discover that the practice is always good. Sometimes at some point it becomes second nature. At some point it doesn't feel like work or effort is needed. It just kind of, it feels like it's so integrated into our very being that it's just who we are. We become the practice, kind of. But it's still all practice. Practice, practice. It's all practice. It's all practice. And so practicing for what purpose? Practicing for what? For the performance? Repetitions, eventually you get the... every moment is the performance. Every moment is the time to practice. And what is it that comes alive? What is it that is revealed? What is it that we... What's the potential in a single moment of practice that's not dependent on getting anywhere or attaining anything? I think that the so-called, what we call practice, the mindfulness, the engagement with truth, the engagement with kindness, with compassion, the really showing up for our life in a really clear and full, direct way, is both the fruit of practice and the practice itself. the practice itself is the fruit itself is the practice in a certain way. And so I say all this because partly to we can appreciate that we can grow and develop in the Dharma, we can mature, we can change in all kinds of wonderful ways. I don't want to in any kind of way diminish the value and the importance of how we grow in the Dharma and to recognize that. But even more important for me is the idea that we begin to recognize that there's a way of showing up for this moment, the way of being present for this moment, the way of meeting this moment, that is the fruit of practice. It doesn't. Nothing needs to change. Nothing needs to grow, and nothing needs to be done away with. There's something powerful by just showing up. And if you learn what that is, if you learn something that, you know, that's the confirmation of the practice. And then you'll have something invaluable to bring with you at a time in your life where it can't, it's no longer about what the practice is going to do for you, you know, where it's going to go, and you know what's going to happen tomorrow if you keep doing it, or the next day. On your deathbed, at some point you might be there dying. I think most of us are planning to die, or you know, it's coming along. But to know, to have this confirmation or practice that you say, "Oh, this," to know, this is what I want to do when I die. This is the best thing I can do. This is the freest thing. Everything else, all the alternatives to practicing, to showing up fully and completely and here for this moment, means that I'm actually, it's a less desirable alternative. It means to be caught in thoughts and reactivity and planning and all kinds of things we get, you know, that are somehow, we know it kind of diminishes the richness of the moment. Why diminish the richness of what this can be about as we're dying? So this ability to confirm the practice, to have the practice confirmed, so we know the practice is what's valuable, even more than any experience we can have. Then we have this treasure that's always available. We have something to performance to enact, to fulfill. And I call it a performance now, more that's manifested, manifestation, because now the practice doesn't have to be goal-oriented. It doesn't have to be about the benefits that come. Benefits will come. But it's about the richness, the value of just this moment here. Wow. It's difficult, and I can be present for it. It's not what I want, and I can be present for it. I wish it was different, and I can be present for it. I can practice with it. And so just, and the practice becomes the refuge. The practice becomes the support. So, there's a little teaching by that's often quoted by the Zen master Dogen, a Japanese Zen teacher from the 1300s, 1200s. And he said, to practice Buddhism is to practice the self. To practice Buddhism is to study the self. To study the self is to forget the self. And forget the self is to be confirmed by all things. And I love this word, confirmed by all things. You know, and to forget yourself, what is being confirmed if you've been forgotten? I'd like to think what's confirmed is our practice. The practice, not even ours, the practice that is there, confirmed, the confirmation of practice. So, you know, it's a, don't think that there's an end to practice. There's a, also a saying in Buddhism that you know, Jack Kornfield has it. This title of a book called "After the Ecstasy, the Laundry," which is kind of nice, I guess. But a more classic Buddhist saying is, "After enlightenment, practice. Before enlightenment, practice. After enlightenment, practice. It's just practice. Keep practicing. Keep showing up in this way." So thank you very much. And